Wonderful. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to today's Austrian Wine Time Masterclass with Peter Zigeti. My name is Antoinette Landejean from Cork and Pork in Washington, D.C. We are a premium wine store founded by a multi-generational flying winemaker originally from Champagne, France. I would like to introduce today's presenter, Zigeti Wines. Zigeti was part of the new wave of Austrian sparkling wine producers in the 1990s who focused on high-quality traditional method sect. The company began in 1991 when Peter Zigeti took over the family business in the village of Gol. Peter has made it his most important task to capture the varietal characteristics of the grape varieties in his products. His goal was to create pure indulgence with every glass of Zigeti sparkling wine. That is why Peter and his cellar master spend a lot of time in the vineyards of their partners and suppliers. This ensures that the grapes meet the highest quality standards and that their typical varietal character will eventually characterize the sparkling wine. For those joining us live, we'd love to hear from you. Place your questions in the Q&A and we will get to them time allowing. Since our guests are joining us live from Austria, quite a few hours ahead, we will move immediately into the presentation. Markus, Peter?
Hello and welcome, and thank you for spending time with us online. Like you said, quite a few hours ahead in the States compared to the States. So for you, it's an early glass. For us, it's a midnight snack. So yeah, let's get right into it. I believe the first sparkling wine you guys should have open on the list is the Zigeti Zero Dosage. I think the best part here is to just jump in and for Peter Zigeti to bring on some words to the Zero Dosage.
Yes, also welcome from my side to everybody, and how we say servus and good afternoon. My name is Peter Zigeti, and we have a wide, big range of different sparkling wines. And the Zero Dosage is one of my personal favorites because I like really dry and crisp sparkling wines. And this Zero Dosage is 017. And the grape variety is a Welsh Riesling, a very, very old vineyard. So this vineyard is located 25 miles south of our region, near the Hungarian border. And the vineyard is more than 45 years old. And the specialist that in this region, around Bamhagen, near the Hungarian border, the climate is very dry. There's no humidity. And this helps the grape to be very, very beautiful and very, very, and there's no botrytis on the grapes, and therefore we can mature the grapes to a special point, and to have enough sugar to get a very good wine with rich flavor, rich aroms, and a beautiful body, and to produce a really special sparkling wine, the Zero Dosage.
Peter, one question or something that we spoke about today was why you actually founded Zigeti, or why it was born, and why you started making sparkling wine the way we make it today and sell it today.
My father was a winemaker, and my father had four or five vineyards only, and he was more a wine and grape dealer. And 1990, my father was sick, and the business was not really good. And then we decided to start a small production of sparkling wine. And we started with the Grüner Veltliner, the sparkling Grüner, and the Welsh Riesling. In the next year, we had the Muscat and the red one, now we call them Rouge de Noir. And after 9 years, that was the millennium year, when you remember. So then there was a really big request of high quality sparkling wines. and we topped our sales, and the success started really in the millennium year, 2000. And the other side was, the other reason was that 20, 25 years ago, you had only 3-4 big players in the sparkling wine market, big industrial companies and firms producing no-name sparkling wine. So, I mean, they had a name, but a marketing name, not the grape variety. There was millions of bottles from one product, and the people only asked if the sparkling wine is sweet or dry or cheap or expensive. And we had another idea. We had the idea to bring the fruitiness, to bring the well-known grape taste as sparkling wine into the glass. And I think that we did this very good. And that was a new experience for a lot of wine drinkers, that sparkling wine has a name of Grüne Veltliner. That's in the beginning. Sometimes when I went to Vienna to restaurants and they offered our Grüne Veltliner or the Welsh Riesling or Pinot Blanc, they asked, no, we will not drink wine. We will not buy wine. We will drink sparkling wine. Sparkling wine had no name. Sparkling wine was a fantasy name in Brut or Dry or Trocken. And this was a little bit hard, but after some years, the people discovered the taste, the aroma, the wonderful bouquet of a single variety. And this was a very successful way.
And one thing one must say is you've got a taste of the Grüne Veltliner. I think a blend nobody needs to talk about. It's a signature thing for Austria. If you talk about Austrian wine, then it's Grüne Veltliner. Just like you have to eat a Wiener Schnitzel when you come to Austria. Those are just two things that run aside with each other. Very interesting for me working in the companies, and that is one of the most fascinating things for me is over the years, what Peter actually did was he started a company not only producing sparkling wine for himself, but actually we spoke about this yesterday. Instead of going the way and just saying, oh, only me producing sparkling wine for myself and not letting anyone else benefit from it, Peter can tell you here really the amazing way of where the story has gone, that Sigeti now produces for nearly, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, 200 to 300 wine growers in Europe. We produce their sparkling wine. So if you drink Austrian sparkling wine, it's an 80% chances that we actually were the ones who had our fingers in there and made sure it becomes a top blend. Peter, I'll give the word here to you, because that is for me something amazing, is we build our own, I don't have the English word, concurrence. We build our own partners that actually make our life difficult. Peter, if you'd like to dive in on there.
Yes. sometimes colleagues ask me if I don't produce my own concurrence when I produce sparkling wine for other winemakers. But I say no, the concurrence is the cheap, the bad product, not the good product from colleagues. And I think in the world of bubbles, in the sparkling wine world, we have so many chances now and in the future I think that our wine cellar is not big enough to produce all the demand what we can wake up when the people discover the quality by sparkling wine. So this.
That's basically the most interesting part. But now when we come down to the figures, and this is quite amazing, is we produce about, I'd say, roughly 700,000 bottles a year. If you break those down, there's quite a bit of export going on. Gladly, we export to the States, which is really awesome for us. For me, very great, but I only joined the company 2020, so the trips really haven't been that much to the States at the moment due to COVID. I'll catch up on that one, definitely. But the ratio here is we produce about 700,000 bottles for ourselves. 350,000 of those bottles, though, are produced for other winemakers. So we're really talking about competition here on the market that we're producing for ourselves. And for me, that's something I can't wrap my head around. And it's actually fun when you go out selling a product is you know what's happening there and you're still trying to keep the upper end. And what one thing that we have managed is where we bring in wines from other winemakers. If you take this whole area of Neusiedlersee, we're not really so much in luck with fancy hills like, you know, from Toscana and all of that. But we've got the lake to the one side. We've got tons of sunshine. And what that really brings out for our grapes down there is lots of fruitiness. And this fruitiness and this grape variety we managed to pack into our sparkling wine. And now if we say, okay, we produce sparkling wine for our competitors, we've got one upper hand on them. We've got the best winemakers in the region of Neusiedlersee who deliver us our basis, the wine that we work with. So what basically happens here is Christian, our cellar master, and Peter, they've got a very tight connection to our winemakers. So they really spend lots of hours in their wine gardens and really checking up on the grapes that they're really in a 100% healthy state. And what happens then is we actually tell the winemakers before the wine harvest, if you'd go into the 100% mature grape healthiness, we come in a week earlier. What happens there is we keep the sugar down a little bit. We keep the acidity a bit higher. So we don't have that much of an alcohol volume percentage inside the grape. But we've got enough acidity to carry it over the second fermentation to keep that freshness and tastiness and that ripeness and that real tang inside the sparkling wine itself. I think the best way we could actually do this now is if Peter would just explain to us this whole process of the production side, which happens inside the cellar when we take over the wine.
Yeah. Very good explained, Markus. It's really that we have the most sunny days in our region from Austria, and this benefits the high quality, the beautiful and the healthy grapes, and this is very important. One of our philosophies that we only will drink the grape that we also can eat, so mean that we have hand-picked, we work with hand-picked grapes and harvested very, very soft, and also we squeeze the grapes very soft. So we only use the first 60% of the grape juice, like in Japan, for our basic wines. Normally you can squeeze from 1 kilogram of grapes around 75% of juice. But when you squeeze more and more, so then you have more bitterness and not the, the fine and elegant and fruity taste from the grape. And how I told you, we want to bring you the taste of the grape. The grape is a fruit, not the fruit that we can eat. Not this we have to smell also by sparkling wine after 4 or 5 years maturation in the bottle on the lees. And what is very important is the method to produce sparkling wine. Our method is the method traditional, that is the bottle fermentation, like in Champagne, and this is the only one method for us which works really good to produce sparkling wine and to produce sparkling wine which can mature for more than 3, 4, 5 years or longer. Means that when we have the basic wine, we chill the basic wine. We use a very, very low SO2, very low. And then we make the filtration. We add the sugar to the wine. So we add around 23, 24 grams of sugar because the yeast needs the sugar for living, and the yeast which we are using is coming from France. So this is champagne yeast, which is also used in Champagne from a lot of smaller champagne makers. So we have 2-3 types of yeast, for example, for Pinot Blanc, Chardonnay, and sparkling wine, which is more from the Burgundy style. Then we have a yeast for the Tramina, for the Muscat, for the Sauvignon Blanc, for the fruity and flavory style. And then we use one yeast for a little bit heavier sparkling wines, like for the red one, where the alcohol is a little bit higher than by the white sparkling wines or the rosé sparkling wines. And the bottle fermentation means that we have to work very clean, very proper, because we have no CO2, which protects normally the wine. We don't make a malolactic before bottling the wines. So the risk to get the malolactic after adding the yeast is also very high. So we have to work very, very clean, very proper. And then we add the yeast to the sugared wine, we bottle, and then we close with the crown cork. So this is a special stainless steel crown cork, which also holds the pressure of around 7-8 atmospheres in the bottle. And the fermentation is a very low soft fermentation during around 2-3 months by around 16, maximum 17 degrees, where the sugar is transformed in alcohol. So we get 1.2 more alcohol by the wine. So when I have a Grüner with 11 alcohol, then the sparkling wine has 12.2, 12.3 alcohol and the around seven atmosphere pressure. And the yeast transforms all the sugar into alcohol and pressure. So all bottle fermented sparkling wines are zero dosage. So they have around 1-1.5 grams of sugar. So this is not possible to measure or to smell it on the tongue. And the first sparkling wine, the zero dosage, is a Welsh Riesling, which was 2 years in the bottle on the lees, also on the yeast, riddled and then disgorged. And we only add a little bit of dry basic wine, but no sugar is added to this zero dosage. And then, of course, the bottles are closed with the original cork, with the natural cork, and the cork is fixed with this wire. It's called agrafe or muesli.
Very interesting here also for you to know, maybe you've got your bottled fermentation. The bottle fermentation you can actually always do, but there's just that little bit in the end, and that's where what we specialize on, and that's the line we stick to, is we do méthode traditionnelle, which means we will always freeze the yeast in the top of the head after you riddle the yeast into the head. We will always freeze that and let the pressure pop that out, and then close that bottle again with a dosage. Now, if you do the standard bottle fermentation, which is a bit a cheaper way, it's a transformation style. The way you've got your small little bottles that were filled is also on that same principle. You push air out and you refill it into a different bottle so you don't have air in there. It's just a lot cheaper in the production line. It is still bottled fermentation, but it's not méthode traditionnelle. And that is really a big difference, because in the old days, I mean, the French have always got a way of making it very romantic, which is really awesome. But at the end of the day, it's just business. They will tell you that they stand there by hand and do all of this stuff with rüttling and getting the yeast into the head. If I'd say it the South African way, I'd say it's a crock of something, because there's a machine for that with a computer. We put the bottles in and 24 hours later, everything is finished. because the sparkling wine doesn't actually care anymore in that time or at that point of time how long it takes the yeast to get on top of the head. The real thing happens in those first 3 months. So you've got your first 2 weeks where this fermentation goes right to the top, similar to the wine. And then once it lies on the yeast in those first 3 months, that's where it gets its taste from, its aroma from. And after those 3 months, you have this breaking point of the yeast. And that's when it starts going into the champagne taste. And after that, when you go from 4 to 9 months, the romance is done. it's the yeast in there. You leave it, it keeps the whole product fresh, but nothing else really happens. So always just have that in mind. If they say bottled fermentation, it's not necessarily méthode traditionnelle. Very great thing that we've got here is we produce the smallest bottle in the world. That's one thing we've got. It's 0.125 milliliters. So you can actually say the perfect glass of wine. We used to have 0.1 liters, but that was a whole EU regulation because you can't sell that in a restaurant. So we had to go to 0.125. And that's what Peter's holding up. We call it the sect bomb in Austria, but it's the little bubble. And that's the smallest size we've got. And we produce that right up to 15 liters. Peter, if you'd maybe like just to give us an insight on where the difference is in size, because sparkling wine is an area where men can be real eager and say, this is where size matters.
to the bubbles, I want to say that we are working on a new bottle with 187 ml that we can export to the United States because of the legal size. So this is a little bit complicated. But my favorites are more the bigger bottles. So I'm a Magnum drinker because when I bottle the Grüner Veltliner in the regular bottle and then in Magnum bottles, after 2 years, you think that you bottled two different style of wines. In the Magnum bottle, you have the wine has a little bit more yeast contact because the bottle is larger. You have less oxygen, you have less air because the neck by the big bottle is the same as by the regular bottle. And then I think that the bubbles are a little bit finer, that the bubbles are more elegant by the Magnum bottle. And it makes, for me, it makes much more pleasure to open a Magnum bottle. And then on top, you have the special names by the big bottles. The 3 liter bottle is the Jeroboam, then the 6 liter Matusalem, Salmanasar, Balthasar, and Nebuchadnezzar or Nabuchodonosor bottle, which is the 15 liter bottle. So this is one of the biggest sparkling wine bottles in the world.
Very interesting here with that 15 liter bottle is, usually we order all our glass stuff in Italy and we get it from there. But when it comes to the 15 liter bottle, it's not something you just order. It's, you can give them a phone call and it's not going to pop up on your doorstep. It's actually, you have to plan the production. You have to tell them, okay, 2 years in advance, listen here, next year we will need round about 20 to 100 bottles. And they will put that into production line. Once that is produced, that was it. Because we can't work with used bottles because it's the whole thing is under pressure. So if there's just a fine little cut somewhere in that glass, it does become very dangerous. And yeah, we don't want to spill any sparkling wine. That's the most dangerous thing that could happen here. Your third sparkling wine that you've got there now is the Cuvée Prestige. I'll use this word here, prestigious, to explain our three series. The zero dosage that you tasted today, or you've gotten the glass tonight, has changed from its label that you've got there. We've changed it to a star. Why did we do that? Sigeti wants to be a bit fresher when it comes to sparkling wine design and bottling design. champagne sparkling wine has become, yeah, very laid back. Nothing much has happened. It's quite boring, actually. It gives us this, if you're old, then you drink something old, and that's what it looks like. And we decided, okay, we're going a different direction here. We're putting on a star in green, gold, red, and we just, bam. Nice thing about it is once you've, that's one of the stars, that's what the Zero Dosage looks like now. When you put that in a shelf, it actually, something happens. People see it and notice it. And then what we also do is we use it as our playground. So everything you've got in this Tribute series with the star is our playground. This is where we mess around. This is where we try new things. Once we manage to get it going and we say, okay, this is working for us, then we move it over to the next one. And that is our Cage, the Freedom series. You've got the Grüne Veltliner is in that Freedom range. That is the sectal down stuff. This is where you really say, okay, baseline, we've worked it out. This is going to be a standard product. No need to mess around with it. No reason to play. It's easy drinking. No explanation needs to be done, because Grüne Veltliner, you know, it tastes apple, pepper. You just know what's going to happen. Muscat, you know, it's going to be elderberries and all of that. It's just easy to explain. The grape variety does the job itself. And now when we come to the Prestige series, this is where we say, if we put Prestige on it, we don't need to go anywhere else anymore and get affirmation that this stuff is good. We know it's good, because this is really 30 months on the yeast. This is the highest level where we go. This is where we really stop messing around, and where our cellar master really takes time to perfect it. If you take the Cuvée Prestige now, we're talking about an area which would be on the, help me, north side of the lake. You've got 15 million year old slates over there. It's a salty pan, actually, because the whole region of Neusiedlersee millions of years ago was actually an ocean. So what you've got there, you've got minerality in a different structure. If you go into Wachau, those areas of Austria, you always will see the stone, which will make associates minerality. And now Neusiedlersee, all of that area around the lake, you don't actually see it. You can actually say it's like a, if you've ever been to Africa and you've seen those big salt pans, I don't know any of them in America, but I'm sure you've got them there as well. You'll just see this white sheet on top of, once all the water has evaporized and the sun glitters in there, which actually gives you the feeling that water is there. And that is that saltiness. And that is the minerality that we bring back into our sparkling wine then. And this is where we then say, okay, now we're going somewhere. Now we're working with things. And that is something one should actually know and cherish about the whole area of Neusiedlersee. It's got an awesome history to it, and I mean millions of years of really archaeology actually also happening there. We've got you have on the label, you've got knights on there. You used to have knights in the area of golds. I mean, there's lots of history, something you don't see anymore. You've even got the history of being part of Hungary, now being part of Austria. Thank God, otherwise the Hungarians would have the good wine and we wouldn't have it. So thank God everything is back to Austria now. And then to bring it back down actually to the Cuvée Prestige is, I'll just say the classical blend of champagne. And that is where I opt out and give it back to Peter, because when it comes to drinking champagne, I always wait for somebody to buy me a glass, because I don't want to waste money on the price. Peter, if you can just maybe explain why the Cuvée Prestige and the champagne side to it.
Yeah, we love champagne, and first we informed us about sparkling winemaking in Champagne. So we learned very much with the people in Champagne, and till now we have a good cooperation with a lot of firms and companies in Champagne. All our machines made in the Champagne area, so in Reims and Epernay, and we also import some champagne to Champagne brands. So we love champagne, but we will not make a copy of champagne. That we have our own origin, Austrian sparkling wine. And we started with the single varieties, so with the Grüne Veltliner, the Welsh Riesling, and then we have a concept where we bring a single vineyards. For example, we have one part in Wachau Valley where we produce a Riesling from Spitzer Graben, what is a single vineyard and a very small and limited quantities of bottles. But each sparkling wine producer, he has to try to make a blend, to make a cuvée. And our cuvée Prestige, we made for my mother first, because she loved rosé, but not the Zweigelt rosé or the Blaufränkisch. So we blend a little bit like in Champagne, Chardonnay. That is one part is Chardonnay. And then we use a Pinot Blanc, where we have a lot of very good high quality grapes in our region. Pinot Blanc is a little bit softer in the taste than the Chardonnay. Chardonnay has a little bit more acidity. The Pinot Blanc brings a little bit more the structure and the body. And the third part is the red grapes, and the red grapes are Blaufränkisch, and Pinot Noir and a little bit of St. Laurent, where we use only the first 10-15% of the grape juice. I mean, we have some winemakers as partners, and when they produce a very big, a very strong red wine, they take the first 10-15% of the juice away to get a reduction from the color in the skin and all the taste from the red grapes. But this first juice is the elegantest, it's the finest what we found on the market. And this is the third part for the blend of the Cuvée Prestige. And after 1 year and a half, 2 years in the bottle on the yeast, so this is the minimum aging for our Cuvée Prestige, you have indeed fruity sparkling wine, but matured, fine bubbles, and a very elegant sparkling wine with... There is a body, there is a structure, less sugar. So sugar is 4 or 5 grams only. And this is a really great product.
Definitely is. It's just a drinking type of thing. Yeah. What's now really where it comes down to, and which is important for me, is why is Sigeti now really different to Champagne? And that is... what it makes it for me every time. And Peter's wife, Anita, will surely have the same point of view as me. Champagne has always got something very fancy to it, old, very full mouth. And what we actually managed with Sigeti is we brought in freshness into this whole thing. We've taken something, an old tradition, which thank God that it's there, and we've put in the freshness. And this is where you really got the difference between Champagne and the way we make our sparkling wine. And that is something, for me, very important that everybody should understand is when they drink Sigeti. We're not trying to compare ourselves here. We're not trying to remaster it. We're not trying to be better. We really want to be different. And we are Austrian and we are unique when it comes to that. And we've really followed that way of going into clean blends. And for you to know is the most important, and I just have to stay stuck there, is if you drink Sigeti, you're drinking wine actually with some bubbles in it. It's not going to taste much different. If you can cut it out in your mind that there's actually a perlage in there, then you will actually be drinking the best wine that you can get in Austria. And that is what we specialize on. And that is the whole main factors. That is our homage to wine. We know that wine is good, and we don't have to cover it up with yeast or some old taste or some fern that is running through, give it some dark color and give it some fancy name, because the French even... like Peter said, is when you close the bottle for the first fermentation, it's a normal capsule on top, which is out of aluminium. And inside, you've got a little plastic thing. This thing is called bidule in French. sounds really romantic and sexy. If you translate it, it's just thing. If you put bedul in your Google Translator, it comes out thing, and that's it. So it's not sexy at all what these guys are doing. It's just a nice language to cover everything up. The next sparkling wine you've got on your list here now, and something really amazing, and we've just won a few awards again with it. In London now, we've done silver, is the Pinot Noir. Why is it so awesome? Pinot Noir is, if you know it a bit from the wine industry, it's a diva. You can go out there, you get the grapes off, you go and you ferment them, you put them through your machine, you press out the juice, you've got this nice darkish red cherry color. The fermentation goes on, you put it into your barrels. After 2 weeks, you go and check the wine, you taste it, and this thing is Latin brown. It just loses color, and that's Pinot Noir. It just starts right there in the cellar. It even starts like that in the wine garden. Pinot Noir in the wine garden is, it's on there. It looks great. You're really happy. And then you start picking on this grape and you actually start seeing unripe grapes in the middle. So it's really something difficult to handle. And then taking it a step further and actually saying, okay, we do a rosé out of it. Then it really becomes interesting, because the color which you've got from the wine, which goes into this brown thing, if that happens in the rosé, a brown rosé is not good at all. It doesn't look good. It has to have that nice finesse on color. And this is where we really cherish in that area that we are in. Through that, lots of sunshine is what we manage to get the Pinot Noirs. We get it before those autumn rains and these cool nights set in again. So we get these really warm nights, warm days, lots of sun, no wetness, nothing really happens inside there. And you've really got 100% clean stuff to work with. And then it's when we start making rosé out of it. And I can only give the word here to Peter, what his motivation was to take a diva of a grape and actually make a sparkling wine out of it.
Yeah, because I love not only Magnum, I also a rosé wine lover. And only some words to the color of the Pinot. When you get the not a red colored Pinot, a little bit more the brown Pinot, perhaps it is very old, very matured, or the grapes had a little bit botrytis, or you don't handle the grapes with enough care. So our Pinot Noir grapes are hand-picked. That then we put the grapes in small plastic cases, and we bring the grapes immediately to the cellar for pressuring the grapes. And then we pressure the entire grapes, and the juice is filled immediately in stainless steel tanks. So the juice or the grapes, they have no time to make an oxidation. So this is very important to get a beautiful color and to preserve all the aromas and all the flavor and the bouquet of the fruit for the basic wine. So this is very important. And why Pinot? We have enough Zweigel, we have enough Blaufränkisch and other red grapes, but the Pinot is not only the diva. The Pinot is for me one of the best and excellent grapes for bubbles, for sparkling wine, not only in Champagne, also in Austria, also in Gauls. And the most part of the grapes for our Pinot is coming from Gauls, from three winemakers. They're very, very good friends of mine. And this is single vineyards, small vineyards, where we work together the whole year in the vineyard. We look the grapes, we look the work in the vineyard, and till to harvesting the Pinot grapes. And the result since many years for the Pinot is an excellent Pinot Noir. Is not the light summer rosé sparkling wine with 10 or 11 alcohol. So we are around the 13.5 alcohol. It means that the basic wine was a real good wine, and the grapes were really good matured. So, and this gives you the taste, this gives you the bouquet and the flavor, and also the possibility to age the Pinot a little bit longer. And also after 2 or 3 years in the bottle on the yeast, there's no yeasty taste. The fruit is 100% in the glass, and you can smell and you can feel the fruitiness and the high quality of this Pinot Rosé.
Yeah. Great. I've run out of lots of words at the moment.
Wonderful.
I'm back to drinking.
Thank you so much.
Some words, because we talked about brands and fantasy names. Szigeti is a name.
Okay. Now it's gone.
A little bit of a lag there. It happens when we're halfway across.
I think I know it was coming. Sziget is in Hungarian called island, and Szigeti is the Insulana, the person who lives on the island. And that's then the whole thing where it comes around. And Szigeti is a Hungarian name because this whole area where we are in used to be part of Hungary. And that is very important to know. And I've run out.
we've lost Peter, but thank you very much for an incredible presentation and a wonderful introduction to your brand, Marcus and Peter. Any final thoughts before we say goodnight for to everyone tonight?
I just drink lots of sparkling and enjoy it. There's more. And sparkling wine is perfect. Bad mood, drink a glass. You'll have a good mood afterwards. And it doesn't work the other way, luckily.
Lovely. Well, thank you for joining us today. Thanks to all watching for your interest in the great wines of Austria. We encourage everyone to visit our website calendar at corkandfork.co to view the amazing Austrian wine events we are hosting with some of the region's greatest producers, including the one that we had the great honor of hosting this evening. So thank you to all. And Marcus, we'll let you get some sleep now, and I'll end the meeting for all. So good night, and thanks again.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
Servus.
Bye-bye. Cheers.